Hello, teacher friends. Coach Z here. And in today's episode, I have an exciting interview for you, and it's all about health and wellness. You're getting closer to the end of the school year, and students are starting to get a little wild, and you may be getting overwhelmed thinking about your career transition. So I wanted to tap in to chat about the importance of putting your health first. In today's episode, I interview G.T. Lark. She's a 10-year teacher turned administrator and a fitness and life transformation coach who works with educators, school leaders, and professional women to rediscover themselves and enjoy all areas of life and health. With her unique approach, she helps her clients feel fulfilled and live vibrantly. Listen as she shares what inspired her to start her own journey to health and wellness, and then work with educators to do the same. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the UX Teacher Prep Podcast, the ultimate destination for educators who aspire to break into the field of user experience and product design. Your host, Z Arnold, a 15-year teacher turned UX researcher, is here to guide, coach, and mentor you through every twist and turn as you make your career transition into tech. If you're ready for a more satisfying career and lifestyle, and you want the balance to unleash your creativity, this podcast is for you. Now for the show.
All right, G.T., so great to have you on the show today.
Hey, Z, how are you?
Great, thank you. I'm super excited to have you here today because, like me, you're laser focused on health and wellness, and I think a lot of teachers don't realize how important that piece is. So I'm really glad to talk to you today, and we can start by just telling everybody a little bit about who you are.
I'm an educator like you, and I was in the classroom for 10 years, but I'm now an administrator. But really, at this phase in my life, I like to say that I am someone who's impacting ladies and bringing awareness to their health. That's who I am, a server of ladies, and I'm a motivator of women to take better care of themselves.
Okay, that's awesome. So what inspired you to go in this direction in terms of women's fitness, women's health, and just coaching women through that process?
Long story, but the main inspiration was watching my mother struggle through two different types of cancer and just not ever really having the opportunity to bring her dreams to fruition. And so for me, even though when I started my journey personally, it was with an air of desperation because I didn't want to be her. I wanted to be someone who was able to live her dreams out. But then somewhere along the line, I realized, you know, that beyond not dying, I actually wanted to enjoy life and I wanted to enjoy even the process of getting healthier and getting fit. So I switched a little bit from just the average dieting plan of eating less and moving more to really loving myself and adding on my emotional and mental well-being, not just the physical. So every day after the pivot, I say to myself, not only will I continue to love every part of me, I want to shift the way teachers, educators, women in general approach wellness and fitness as more than just eating less and moving more than just a normal scale. Of course, we all want to look good, but looking more in terms of how we look, talking about ourselves, how we are viewing ourselves internally, because I find that that is what is missing for many fitness and weight loss programs that keeps the sustainability in place. When you love yourself, when your care is from within, when you're not critical about messing up one day, and when your self-worth is built and developed, when you add on the food and exercise, that's when the results start to happen.
Yeah, that's very powerful. It's interesting because a lot of times we see other people in our lives go through certain things, and then it kind of shakes us up and lets us realize that, you know, we want to go down a different path. So that's something I hear a lot. So for you, what is it about educators that makes you have that passion to serve them in this capacity? You know, I have my thoughts on this because I was in the teaching system for 15 years and I saw a lot of things with educators in health and wellness that I felt needed improvement. But what do you see on your end?
I see the profession being one that is extremely lonely. I see us, especially women, female educators, sacrificing ourselves and well-being for the good of kids and for the system. I see it as a profession that is not given the recognition and acknowledgement that it deserves, especially because we're putting almost everything that we have on the line to teach, to educate, to basically bring up everyone else's children. And so my passion was for them, not only because I experienced that as well, where I would, you know, go to the bathroom. As an example, I mean, it's a trivial example, but it's just one of the many things that happened. I wouldn't go to the bathroom for the entire day because I couldn't sometimes get someone to cover me, or I had just so many other things. But more importantly, even my food choices, my overall well-being was always at the back of everything as I put everything ahead. And so I feel like because of what we do and the circumstances under which we do them, it's very, very easy to sacrifice yourself. And so my heart was like for ladies in particular who are in position that I once was.
Yeah, I feel like as females, we do sacrifice ourselves and put ourselves last a lot of times, especially as a mother, you know, as parents, we tend to put our kids first and then put ourselves. And I had the same feeling when I was teaching. It was just like the students, and just so many things we had to get done on a day-to-day basis and period to period, prep periods. Everything was just so jam-packed with just wanting to make sure everything was right with the students. So I definitely resonate with that idea of putting ourselves on the back burner in the teaching space. So for you, how do you balance your work and life? Because I know that you are probably super busy working in education still. So what are some of the strategies that you use to manage your work and life balance?
Well, the biggest thing that I told myself as a result of shifting my perspective towards wellness and fitness from just the physical to the internal, every day that I live, I'm going to love myself. And I always say to myself, if you love yourself, how would you be? So I'm becoming that person. I do the things that a person who loves themselves does. So I don't sacrifice the things that are important to me. I don't sacrifice the things that show me that I love myself and integrity with myself. What that looks like is always exercising. Ideally, I like to exercise in the morning, but even if I can't, I make sure that every day includes some type of exercise.
This also spills into the choices of food that I make.
I don't exclude anything because the mind always goes with the nuts and what you can't have as opposed to what you can't have. But every choice that I make before I make that choice, I say to myself, is this what someone who loves themselves will be eating? Like, as long as I continue to do that, every decision that I make about myself is in the good of moving me along or keeping me in this well space.
I remember when I was teaching, the only things that I could really eat were quick things, right? Snacks, candies, things that were packaged because I just didn't have time. I didn't have time to get lunch or even prepare lunch and all that kind of stuff. So what do you say to teachers who say they don't have time to eat right or they don't have time to really think about every single thing they eat? Like, is this going to serve me in the right way? And I know you said you don't cut anything out and you don't limit yourself, but I'm guessing that you eat everything in moderation. What strategies do you use to make sure that you're doing that?
There's the practical side where I encourage food prepping, but then there's the side where I say to them to really think about, if you don't have time to nourish yourself, what do you have time for? And I find that 95% of the time, it's not a time thing. It's more a worthiness thing, and it's more an acknowledgement or recognition of the fact that they haven't prioritized themselves and even though they say they want to do better, they don't really want to do better. And that's not a conversation that many people want to engage in, but it's really one that serves us. And so if you're able to be honest with yourself, then the next part of it is the meal prepping part. But most of the time, after the first series of questions, when I ask them about time, like, what is it about time that makes you say that you don't have enough of it to care for yourself? That usually works. And then they're able to miraculously find the time. Because time is always there. You don't lose it, you know. It's just deciding that this is important to you and using the time that is there. But on the practical side, you can meal prep. Meal prep works. It's a lot on the front end, but once you get into the routine of it, it gets easier and easier. So that's one way. But again, even being short on this time and not having maybe the most healthful foods around, it's still a matter of choice. Because I bet you can walk into even the most snack-filled shop and still come out with something that would fill you. And I might add that it's not the things that you do once or twice. It's the consistent habits that the people that actually add up.
That makes sense. Consistency. That makes a lot of sense. So I feel like now that I'm in a place where I work remotely, and so I feel like I have more time to do certain things, and I don't have to do things when I come home after work. I don't have to lesson plan and grade papers and stuff like that. And I feel like I have more time, I have the same amount of time, but I just feel like I have time back to do those kind of things like the meal prepping.
It's your commitment. That's what it is. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's my commitment.
Yes.
Okay. That's interesting. That's interesting. I used to be like, Sundays, I used to take all day Sunday to work on my lesson plans, my grading and all that kind of stuff. And I feel like even if I had in the back of my head that I wanted to meal prep or get something ready for the week, I would still just start my day with, okay, first I have to get this done. First I have to do my lesson plans. First I have to do my grading. And by the time I got to finish that, it was like 7 p.m., too late to do anything else, too tired. And so it always felt like, you know, that part about taking care of myself was on the back burner.
Because it was. And so the minute you shift and put yourself in the center and become the main actor of your life, the things that you do change. Same day, same time. The difference is now I'm putting myself at the center and miraculously you have the time. I know in your instance, you may have had more of, I wouldn't even say time. The opportunity was a little easier because instead of grading and preparing lessons, you could move into preparing meals. But I venture to say that even if you had made a switch while you were still in the classroom, you would still somehow be able to do all of it.
Yeah, some way, somehow.
Yes. Commitment. It's the excuses we tell ourselves that we're full of that. Mm-hmm. The minute we get honest with what we really want to do, become that person first, everything that we do works out the way we want it to work out.
Wow, I love that message of commitment and putting ourselves at the center and then letting everything else fall into place. So we were talking about food, and so I'm curious because food is my favorite thing to talk about. So I'm curious about what you eat in a day. What's your typical schedule for eating and what are the things that you like to eat in a day to keep you fueled?
I eat a lot when you think about it because I realized that eating less was doing me the opposite. It was a disservice to myself. So an oatmeal, chia, concussion in the morning. I have two boiled eggs. I have a huge salad midday. Lots of cruciferous veggies. Lots of protein, chicken, meat. I put everything. I have a sweet potato and some more proteins. And in the evening, I have lots of proteins and lots of potatoes.
Okay, so sounds doable. What about dessert? Do you have dessert?
I do. Remember, there's no exclusion. I do. I do in moderation. But the moderation is relative. But I have yogurt. I have rice cake. I have peanut butter. I don't have fruits because fruits add more up to my belly. But mostly yogurt, rice cake. Sometimes Cheez-Its. Of course, not all in one day. That's about it.
Okay, that sounds good. That sounds good. So it's all about putting yourself first and balance. It sounds like it's all about balancing and everything in moderation.
It's commitment to yourself, being in integrity with yourself.
Got it. Got it. Yeah, that sounds right. I feel like I'm doing that now, but, you know, outside of the classroom, if that makes sense. But
yeah,
I just felt like there was just too much stress, you know, to kind of focus on everything. But I believe you're right in terms of you can do it if you really put your mind to it, and, like, put yourself at the center.
Yeah.
And you said something earlier about how you feel like teaching is a lonely profession. Can you talk some more about that? Because I actually haven't heard anybody say it like that. And that was interesting to me that you said it was a lonely profession. What do you mean by that?
I mean, I felt that even though I was around other teachers and other educators, I was still felt very isolated. And that isolation was actually one reason why I gained kind of lost some other route. Because I sought for, I wouldn't say company, but I used food to some degree to compensate the interaction that I wasn't getting. It felt lonely. It felt you go into your classroom, you do what you do with the kids, you engage with adults around what you're doing, to make sure you have formed some deeper connections. It's still all around that teacher role and what you're doing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. Food to compensate, because I know I'm an emotional eater and I'm a stress eater. So there you go. That's it for me.
Yeah.
You know, teaching, there's always going to be something stressful, right? In the day, on the day to day basis. So the way how some people handle stress is maybe they don't eat or they just do other things. But my thing was, I was a stress eater, so I would just grab anything, eat anything just to, you know.
And then, you know, even the conversations are still all around the teaching. So there's no connection outside of that. Like, just perpetuating the frustration, or even if you're celebrating, but it's still all around that. So I didn't quite get the fulfillment. And I guess maybe that's not what I was supposed to be doing either, so. Yeah, but I felt very isolated.
What about mental health? What are some of the strategies you use? I mean, I'm sure exercising is great for your mental health, because I mean, that's the main reason why I exercise. So I guess besides exercise, is there anything else that you focus on to, like, build your mental health?
I run, but I guess that falls under exercising. So I recently started meditating, and I listen to audiobooks for some reason. That's very, very soothing. Doesn't matter what they were for, just the absorbing of, I guess, the voice relaxes me. Now I'm being more selective with the audiobooks, but for me, any podcast, any audiobook, meditation have been very helpful in addition to running. Running is like my safe space.
Yeah, I like audiobooks a lot and podcasts as well. I find myself always having an audiobook or a podcast in my ear, even on the weekends when I'm cleaning.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was soothing, but now that I think about it, it is.
Really soothing isn't the word, but it definitely shifts whatever is happening and gives me some type of relief.
Relief. So you're a runner.
Yes. I love running. Running is life.
Wow. Tell me about that. Were you always a runner,
yes,
like growing up?
Yes,
or?
I always was. It's amazing. It's the most liberating activity for me. I love running.
So you do, like, long distance running? What kind of running is this?
This long distance. I'm not a sprinter. I'm in for the long haul. I used to run marathons consistently, but now maybe once or twice a year. In my heyday, before COVID, I was running. I belonged to, at the time, 6 running clubs, and almost every, at least 40 weekends, if I was in the country, I would be running on Saturday and Sunday. I can do 5Ks, 15Ks, didn't matter what it was.
So when you run right now, what do you run for, like 10 miles, 5 miles? How much running are you doing?
Well, so when I'm training for something, I'm doing at least 20 miles a week. Now that I've scaled back, I used to run every day. Now I run at least 4 days a week, and I'm doing no less than 3 hours. And then I'll do, so my commitment is to run at least 1 half a month, on one 10K mm-hmm. mark, and then every other run is 5K.
We're opposites on that because I'm a walker. I can walk my way to fitness. So
I actually hate walking.
So like,
I'm the slowest.
You hate
I'm
walking?
The slowest walker ever.
Oh my goodness! Oh, yeah, I can do a good power walk. I can do a good walk, and I feel like walking really helps me clear my mind. And when I started getting back into fitness, when I left teaching, I was focusing on just getting my steps every day and just getting a lot of walking in. And I feel like that just helped me clear my mind and walking outdoors. And so, yeah, walking is my thing. I'm not a runner, but I can definitely walk it out.
I don't like walking. I mean, I have to, but.
So in terms of the teachers that I work with and that usually listen to this podcast, you know, I have a lot of teachers who are thinking about transitioning out of teaching into a different career, try something different, or just, you know, find a better work-life balance, and who are already in that process. So what advice would you give to them in terms of their transition, their health, their wellness, or anything that you think that they might need to know?
I would say that especially in transition or as they prepare to transit into something, to definitely move in the direction of what truly brings them joy. I know it sounds very cliche, but if there's ever a time that you should bring all of you to the forefront, is now. So don't leave this for something that brings you marginal joy or equivalent joy. But make sure that they are, to the best of your ability, of course. But make sure that it is in the direction of something that truly, truly lights you up. And then in terms of wellness and fitness, because it's something that you made that decision, everything is falling to place. If you're doing something that you enjoy, you're doing something that lights you up, prioritizing yourself is just the natural progression of your life, and won't be a challenge. It won't be easy, because nothing good is easy, but it will not be a challenge. It will be simple. I think when you start to struggle, is when we're out of alignment with our who we truly are. And so any moves that are being made should be towards becoming who you really want to be, or in service of the real, best, better version of yourself. Be true to yourself.
That's powerful. That what you just said just made me think I could have tried a little bit harder to focus on my health and wellness while I was teaching. Yeah. Just try to put myself at the center a little bit more. Because that's really who I am in the core, you know. I needed to focus more on my well-being so that I could be able to give to others. But at the same time, I still wonder how much more I would have had to sacrifice on the teaching end. Yeah. So what do you have coming up in terms of your fitness coaching, your health and wellness? How can people learn more about you and reach out to you?
So what I did in response to that was to create a guide that helps you to really identify whether you're dieting. Because it's something that is loosely thrown around, oh, I'm on a diet, I'm on a diet. And when the truth is, diets are really not what we need. And so it's a PDF guide that says, win your weight loss battles. It helps you to identify whether you are dieting and why the choices that you're making in an effort to get healthy and get fit and lose weight are not working.
Okay, so we can drop a link to that guide in the description and in the show notes so that people can download it. Okay, cool. So what about if they want to reach you and maybe talk about how you can help them with their health and wellness?
Well, the PDF has my contact info, but in addition, you can follow me on Instagram at JTLog, or you can email me at info@drjtlog.com.
All right. Jite, it was so great to have you on the show today and to learn about your journey and what you're doing for educators. Hopefully listeners will be excited about working on their health and wellness as they're going through this transition, or even if they're staying in teaching.
I'm happy to have been here. It was nice connecting with you. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks so much for tuning in. If you like this podcast, hit follow and scroll down to leave a 5-star rating. Then share it with a friend. If you're looking for resources to help you on your tech transition journey, head over to uxteacherprep.com. Follow us on LinkedIn and Instagram at uxteacherprep for daily tips and motivation. Have a topic you'd like to hear addressed on the show? Send us a DM on Instagram. If you're listening on YouTube, like, subscribe, and share. Until next time, be well.